You're listening to sermon audio from the Black Diamond Gospel Chapel. We trust that you'll be encouraged and edified today.
What is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Father has the Son. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us: eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This is the word of the Lord. Before we dive in, let's bow and pray. Father, we need you. And that's an honest cry of our heart this morning. We need you. Our eyes need to be focused on you. And I pray in these next few moments as we unpack the truth of your word, would you grip our hearts with your truth? Would you lead us into truth? Would you help us to understand the text of Scripture? Father, we thank you that your word is sufficient. We thank you that you offer hope. We thank you that you offer eternal life. And that eternal life is found solely in knowing and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. I pray that you would remove the desires of the flesh. Pray that you would remove the desires of the world in our hearts. That we would cling to you and you alone. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing we notice here, as John is unpacking, he says it here in verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." He says, do not love the world. See, then he's going to unpack this truth of why we ought not love the world. If you love the world, it says, you cannot, what? Love the Father. The love of the Father is not in you. You cannot love the world and simultaneously love the Father. It's not possible. You can't play on both sides of this fence. You can't do that. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, if you're wondering, what is the world? What does it mean to love the world? Well, he answers that for us in verse 16. He says, for all that is in the world, and he's going to go on here in verse 16 to explain what the world is. He says, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and the pride of life. Some translations might say the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. And what he is saying here is if you love the world, you cannot love the Father. So how do you know if you love the world? Well, here's what he means. I'm going to pause here for just a quick moment. We're getting some technical difficulties. Do I need to switch mics? Okay, it's not in the mains, just in here, but I'm coming through on online. If I'm coming through online, can you send Pastor Matt a text message saying, yes, we can hear him loud and clear? You should be good. Welcome to online, everyone. Just the mains. Yeah, that's fine. As long as I'm coming through online, we're going to keep going. Because I'm pretty sure Matt can hear me, and Matt, other Matt at the back can hear me as well. So, let's get back to our text. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh. This is those desires. What is it that you are pursuing? What is it that you love? Do you love the desires of the flesh? That is physical lusts. That is that that physical desire, often portrayed in sexual desires and stuff, but it's not just that, right? This goes down to our very nature. What is it that we are pursuing? What is it that we long for, the desires of the flesh? In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, we all are familiar with this, but this is what it is talking about. It is that we are, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Right? Carrying out the desires of the flesh. It's whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. Irregardless of what the Lord would have me do, irregardless of anything like this, what my flesh wants, that's what my flesh is going to get. Right? That is a worldly way of thinking. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and then he goes on to say, the desires of the eyes, or the lusts of the eyes. That is literally like greed, covetousness, what my eyes want, that's what I'm going to get. What my eyes want, that's what I'm going to get. And it leads to greed and covetousness. It's what that person has, that's what I want. What that person has, that's what I want. And I'm going to strive and drive to that truth. We see this played out actually in the life of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read David and Bathsheba. What happened? David was up on the rooftop. He was up on the rooftop and he looks over and his eyes saw what he wanted. His eyes looked over and said, I want that woman. Bring her to me. The lusts of the eyes led him to that worldly desires. And then finally, he says this, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the what? The pride of life. Or some translations will say the pride in possessions. There's a self-exaltation here when it comes to my stuff and my things and just who I am, a prideful person. Matthew chapter 6, turn there with me. This is once again well known. Matthew chapter 6, starting here in verse 19. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching, and here's what he says. He says, do not lay up treasures for yourself, treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is a physical possessions, a self-exaltation that comes from laying up for yourself earthly treasures. Right? And that's what he's saying. These are the things, these are the aspects of the world. And if these are the things that we love, these are the things that we pursue, these are the things that we long for, that means that the love of the Father is not in us. That means that the love of the Father is not in us. If these take the prime spot in my life, I love the world. I pursue the world. I desire worldly things. Why? Why would we desire these things? Why would we long for these things? Because every single one of us watching this online, every single one of us is looking for a place of satisfaction. Every single one of us is looking for a place of hope. Every single one of us is looking for a place of longing. And what we're doing is we're throwing ourselves at these things, hoping that these things are going to satisfy, hoping that these things are going to last. Well, look at verse 17. It says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I think if you are sitting around a bunch of teenagers right now, they've heard me talk about this at length. I talk about this all the time because this is, the world is pressing in on all of us, on Christians, on believers, on the church, and it's targeting your teenagers. It is targeting the youth of this world. Because here's what your culture is indoctrinating your children with. Embrace the desires of your heart. Embrace the lusts of the flesh. Embrace the lusts of the eyes. Embrace the pride. Embrace the possessions that you have. And if you don't have enough, you need more or else you don't stack up. If you don't have enough stuff, if you haven't done this or you haven't done that, and you haven't lived up to a worldly standard, that means you're falling short. So you need to increase these things. You need to fall into these things that the world is telling you. That's what is indoctrinating your teenagers. If you see it, go get it. Credit card companies love that. They build their whole empire on, if you want it, go get it. So what do? You look over at your neighbor and you see that he has a brand new truck. I want a new truck. Or family member goes and buys a brand new house. What do I want? I want a brand new house. Because that's what's going to satisfy. I've got to keep up with the Joneses, as it were. I've got to do these things. And now I'm going to throw everything I am at the things of the world. And then when you get something, you hold on to it. That's what the world is teaching your children. That's what the world is teaching you. And the question remains, why shouldn't we do that? What is so wrong with pursuing new things? There's nothing wrong with getting a new truck. There's nothing wrong with getting a new house. There's nothing wrong with these things. But what is the utmost in your heart? What is the love in your heart? Is it to passionately pursue these things? And that's where you're going to find your security. That's where you're going to find your significance. That's where you're going to find your hope. Well, verse 17 tells us this, that those things are what? Passing away. All of those things are here, but for a moment. For a short moment. And then when those things are taken away, when those things no longer are there, what happens? You feel empty. You feel empty because you have no hope. Your hope is in the things of this world. You have nothing. I think that's why we're seeing so much difficulty over the past 14, 15 months with COVID, because what's happening is this. We have put our hope and our satisfaction in the things of the world. We have fallen into this trap. We have fallen into this lie that the world is going to satisfy you. And when your satisfaction is in the world and not in the eternal hope in Christ, what happens is when the things of the world fail you, because they will, that's why you see depression rates skyrocket. When you see suicides skyrocket, that's why you see angst within marriages. Divorce rates are up. Why? Because we're looking at these things as our God. I want to travel. I'm looking forward to traveling. Well, you can't travel. I want to go be with friends. Well, you can't be with friends. I want to go out for a restaurant. I'm on a date. Well, you can't do that now. But that's where I've put all my stock. That's where I've put all my hope. Well, you can't. So now the bottom has fallen out. Now what do you have left? Nothing. The fleshly desires, the desires of the world are passing away. And there's one thing that stands. Whoever does the will of God, what? Abides forever. There is an eternality to the truth of being in Christ. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read two different texts from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to look at verse 22 through 25. having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. See, the things of the world, the flesh is like grass. Here today, gone tomorrow, it withers. But what stands forever? The good news that was preached to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ stands forever. The truth that you were a sinner before a holy God, and that God's righteous condemnation was sitting on you. And then Christ came and he bore God's wrath. And for those who repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, while the earth may fade and the earth may fall, those who are in Christ remain forever. The second text in 1 Peter is well known. We've read this multiple times, verses 3 through 5. Of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So you have been born again through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have an inheritance that awaits. It's not an inheritance that is moth and rust are going to destroy. It's not an inheritance that is going to fail and fall. But what is it? It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. There is an inheritance that awaits all believers that will never be taken away. So where are you putting your hope? Where are you putting your satisfaction? Where are you putting the desires of your heart? What is it that you are pursuing? What is it that you love? Is it the things of this world? Because they're going to fade. Or is it a longing to be found in Christ, which will last forever? See, John goes on in his letter back in 1 John chapter 2. He says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So let's pause here for a moment. What happens is when we fall into the desires of the world and our longing and our desire is to be worldly, what's going to end up happening is that's going to end up showing itself. And here's what John's saying. He's saying, listen, many antichrists have come. That word antichrist, he's using as a term to say those who are against Christ, not the capital A antichrist that's going to come in the end times. Those who are against Christ. That's what he's talking about. So those who are anti-Christ. They are anti-Jesus. They are against Christ. And he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They looked like they were part of us. They looked like they were one of us. They looked like believers. But what happened? They went what? Out from us, but they did not continue with us. They got pulled into that desire of the world. They got drawn by the desires of the world, proving that they were never truly of us to begin with. They were never truly born again. They were never truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's similar, if you remember, Pastor Matt read for us Matthew 13. Go back there with me for just a moment. Matthew chapter 13. Obviously, we know the parable of the sower, right? We're very well acquainted with this, but look at, in the explanation, look at verse 22. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So the one who hears the word, and then what happens is they hear it, and maybe they, for a time, they look like they're believers, but then the what? The cares of the world come up. the cares and the love of the world, and they decide, you know what? I don't want this Jesus thing. I want to be in the world. And what that does is it shows that they were never born again to begin with. A great illustration of this is a man who came up on the scene with Billy Graham. Right? We all, I think some of us have heard this account of Charles Templeton. Charles Templeton came up, and he and Billy Graham were like these evangelistic men who preached boldly the gospel. Many came to faith under their ministry. In fact, it was said of Charles Templeton that he was a better preacher than Billy Graham. It was also said that he, Templeton, was going to turn the world for Christianity. That's what was being touted amongst the people who are watching Billy and Charles. For 11 years, Billy Graham and Charles Templeton boldly proclaimed the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, thousands coming to genuine faith under their preaching. And it was in 1956 that Charles Templeton recanted everything, everything. He said, this is false, this is not true. He rejected the idea of God and the church. He said, this is not true. In fact, he went on to write a book basically pleading with people to leave Christianity. That was the end of Charles Templeton, showing that he was never truly of us. The things of the world drew him away. And so, picking it up back in our original text, we see this. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. So verses 20 through 24, Paul did not write this letter, by the way, John did. John kind of does this two comparison thing. He says, there's those who believe in Jesus Christ. Here's the characteristics of a Christian, and here's the characteristics of someone who is not a Christian, a antichrist, one who is against Jesus. The things that mark the non-believer, you can read it in verse 19, they do not persevere in Christ to the end, but they reject that and they go the way of the world. Look at verses 22 and 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. The one who denies the truth of God, the one who denies the existence of Jesus, the one who denies what Jesus did on the cross, the one who is going to lie and deny anything to do with Jesus and the Father, they are not believers. They are anti-Christ. So if you're watching this and you're saying in your heart, you're being intellectually honest with yourself, the question is this: do you deny the truth of Jesus Christ? Do you deny his teaching? Do you deny his existence, his death and his resurrection on the cross? Are you denying these things? Do you deny that you're a sinner before a holy God and that you're in need of a Savior? Do you deny that Jesus came and took the punishment for you? If you deny these things, you are not born again. You are not a Christian. I don't know who's all watching. Maybe you have family members around you. Maybe you're a youth or an adult and you're wrestling through these things and you're kind of like, well, I'll give lip service that I trust Jesus, but in my heart of hearts, I actually deny that I need him in the first place. If you're intellectually honest with yourself, are you denying the truth and the existence of Christ? If you are, you are not born again and you are condemned to hell. This is what marks the non-believer. But what marks the believer? You have been anointed by the Holy One. You have been given the Holy Spirit. That's what he means. You have been given the Spirit and leads you to all knowledge. Verse 23, whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. Are you abiding in the truth of God? Are you abiding in his word? Are you abiding in Christ? So let's go with, join me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, listen to what Jesus says here in verses 16 and 17. Have you been given the Holy Spirit? Because one of the questions I get often, and when I say often, I mean weekly, that I get teenagers coming into my office on a Friday night, sometimes Sunday after church, sometimes just in my interactions with them having, as I'm having lunch. They sit in my office and they go, okay, Bryce, we've heard everything you've said. We've heard the word. And here's the question. How do I know? How do I know? How do I know if I'm born again? How do I know if I have the Spirit living in me? I think John here is going to kind of give us a few keys and a few hints to these things. So look at John chapter 14, picking it up in verses 15, 16, and 17. If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he what? Dwells in you. And will be in you. All right, so we know that we are born again. If we love the Lord, we're going to walk in obedience to him. We're going to keep his commandments. And the Spirit of truth, he's going to lead us into truth and not into the world. If you find yourself increasingly loving the world and wanting the world and going that way and forsaking the things that are true in the Bible, that's good evidence that you are not born again. You don't have the Spirit of God living in you, because he's not going to be okay with sin and worldliness in your heart. You know him, for he dwells in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Back in our text in 1 John, there's three things that John has already drawn out so that you can know whether or not you have the Spirit living in you or not. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you confessed your sin? Have you, in the depths of your heart, in the quietness in your room before bed, laid your head on your pillow and confessed your sin before a holy God? The answer is no, you're not born again. Chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word and in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Are you longing to walk in obedience to the Lord? You're not going to do this perfectly. We're not talking about perfect walking in obedience, but is the desire of your heart not for forsaking worldliness and longing to walk in obedience to the Lord? If that's the desire of your heart, you're born again. If you don't care about walking in obedience to all of the commands of God, if you don't care about that and you care more about the world, you're not born again. This is evidence that the Spirit is living in you, as you are going to confess your sin. Your life is going to be marked with repentance. Your life is also going to be marked with walking in obedience to the Lord, walking in obedience to his commands. And the third thing that John has already drawn out for us in this letter is this, found in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Do you love the fellow saints and the local church? Or do you hate your fellow believer? If there's hatred for those who are believers, if there's hatred for those who are not brothers, who are brothers, you're angry and you hate them, evidence you're not born again. Do you love the fellow saints? Do you love the local church? If the answer is yes, you've confessed your sin, your life is marked with repentance. Your life is marked by longing to walk in obedience to the commands of God. Your life is marked by love for the people and love for the church. It's good evidence that you are born again. And you're going to struggle with all of these things. Your life's not always going to be marked with repentance. Your life is not always going to be marked with walking in obedience to his commands. Your life is not always going to be marked with love. But are you increasing in these things? Are you longing to increase in these things, pleading with the Lord to help you walk in obedience to these things? If that's you, it's good evidence you're born again. But if you've said, no, haven't confessed my sin, the only time that I walk in obedience is when I accidentally walk in obedience to the commands of God. I find myself angry and hateful towards my fellow believers, except for those few people who I like. You're likely not born again. You've not been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You've not been given the Holy Spirit to lead you in these things. What's another marker? Confesses the Son, verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. This is a stunning thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. My mom and dad should have a lot of tea or water still in their cups. I've only gone to Romans once this morning. Romans chapter 10. The gospel in a nutshell. What does it say? That the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Do you confess Jesus? You repented of your sin, and now you confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. Out of the desire of your heart, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's not just a, yes, I'll say that I love Jesus so that I can be out of hell, right? But to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord means that you follow in obedience to his commands. Means that you believe that when Jesus says something, he says it, and you should follow it. That means that you believe in his death and in his resurrection and how one ought to walk in obedience to him until he comes back. Believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does the scripture say? You are saved. You are justified. You are declared not guilty. What an amazing thing that is. And what's the other thing that you... What we see in our text is that you abide in the truth. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, picking it up in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Are you abiding in the truth? That means to continually be clinging to, or continually be found in the truth. Are you continually clinging to the truth of God's word? If you abide, you cling to my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you abiding in the truth? Are you abiding in his word, longing to fill your life with the truth. Let what you heard from the beginning, verse 24 of our original text, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that is what you are clinging to and that is what is in you, then you too will abide, cling to, be in the Son and in the Father. To have that relationship. And what does he finish off? He says in verse 26, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." So what's going on here in Ephesus? There's false doctrines and false teachers that are coming in, and their desire, their longing is to lead them away from the truth and into the worldliness. That's what's happening. There's teachers that are leading them away from Jesus and to worldliness. And so John's writing this letter. He says, listen, cling to the truth. Abide in the truth, he says. He says, the anointing that you received from him, the Spirit of God in you, abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. That does not mean that you can be arrogant enough to say, well, see, no one has to teach me. I know everything. No, that's not what he is saying. That means, does not mean you can forsake gathering together, sitting under the authority of God's word from a pastor on a Sunday morning. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, but that the word of God is sufficient in your life to, if you're clinging to it and you're in it and you're clinging to the truth, that you can stand firm when the deception of the world is coming around you. That you can know that what is said in this book is true, and it will lead you to godliness. It will lead you to holiness. It will lead you in the truth. Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, leading you to Jesus. He says, cling to the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 talk about winds of doctrine that are leading everywhere. These winds of doctrine that are leading people here and there and everywhere. And what are we supposed to do? Come alongside and speak the truth in love to grow up to mature manhood. We are to abide in the truth. That's the call of our life. You've got to cling to the word of God. You've got to cling to the truth. And look at verse 25. This is the promise that he made to us. What is it? Eternal life. Eternal life awaits those who have confessed their sin. Eternal life awaits those who have been given the Holy Spirit by God, who have confessed that Jesus is who he says he is, who are clinging to the truth of God's word. This is where we're finding our security. This is where we're finding our significance. This is the love of our life, is following God's word and longing to walk in obedience. For those who are marked by those truths, what awaits? Eternal life. That's what awaits. Security in your significance and hope in this world is found by being in Christ, not in the world. If your hope is settled that COVID-19 is going to be over, you have no hope at all. Whether COVID-19 is here or not, something else is going to come up. Your hope is not found in the eradication of sickness. Your hope is not found in anything other than Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ alone who gives you eternal life. It is Jesus Christ alone who gives you eternal life. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I'm sure the teenagers are tired of me talking about the folly of the world that is around them. A new truck is not going to save you. Being the captain of an NHL hockey team is not going to save you. Being the greatest pianist ever is not going to save you. It's not bad things, but it's not going to save you. There's nothing that can give you eternal life except for Jesus Christ. And by coming into a place of repenting and believing and being found in Jesus Christ, I want to read these few verses. If you want to follow in your Bibles, you can. If you want to just close your eyes and just listen to these amazing truths that await the believer. This is the truth of God's word. This is what awaits those who are found in Jesus Christ. This is not for those who are not born again. This is for the believer. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. A place where you will be in the presence of a holy God forever awaits those who cling to the truth. If that is not you, may I implore you, come. Come into right relationship with Jesus Christ. The world is going to let you down. It's going to fade. It's going to be gone. But the one who abides in the will of God will abide forever. Father, we live in a day and age where we are desperate for hope. We are desperate to cling to something. And Father, I think oftentimes we find ourselves clinging to things that are not going to satisfy. Clinging to things that are not going to last. Clinging to the things of this world which is going to fade and pass away. Father, I pray that you would help us to cling to the truth of your word. Cling to you, Lord, and be prepared and to know of the hope that is found in eternal life. Help us to persevere through, to continue to fight day after day after day, to walk in obedience to you, to pursue holiness, to know your word more and more every day. I thank you that there is, in fact, true, eternal, lasting hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In your name we pray. Amen.